Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound unto the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So the apostle continues then his defense of his ministry in perhaps a little bit more personal fashion here than he had in the last chapter. Notice in the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 7, that he would first speak to us about his unfailing labor in the ministry. He says, we faint not. We faint not. Now, he said that on other occasions, hasn't he? He's talked about fainting. And by fainting, he means to be weary in well-doing such that we would cease from doing good in whatever our station is. And brothers and sisters, let me just encourage you not to be weary in well-doing. That the apostle writes, actually in the first letter to the Corinthians, at the end of chapter 15, after that long discourse about the resurrection, he says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then that will be a hedge, an inoculation against becoming weary in well-doing. The apostle has said here that He's received the ministry and he doesn't faint. He doesn't faint. Now fainting here would also mean for the Apostle Paul to misuse his apostleship. Because notice what he says immediately following that. He says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty or shame, and we have commended ourselves to every man's conscience by speaking the truth. It's an interesting point, isn't it? That there is a way of fainting that doesn't really look like fainting. Paul says, it'd be really easy for me to change the message and to do that to become more popular with men. But that would be fainting. That would be moving off of what my duty is. And so you won't find me doing that. We faint not. Instead, by manifesting the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. And then he goes on to say, and this is really, really important. He says, if our gospel's hid, that's above my pay grade. That's not my goal. My goal is not to make manifest the gospel of Jesus Christ in men's hearts. That can't be my goal. I don't have the strength, the power, nor the ability to do that. It's not what God has given me to do. What God has given me to do is to preach it faithfully and truly, and to leave the outcomes to Him. When we get in our afternoon service studying the headship of Christ, we begin to speak about His headship over the ministry, this passage will come back to us in such a way as to show that the means are Christ's to ordain and to put into our hands, and the outcomes belong to Him. And so all argument from outcome is illegitimate argumentation. So the apostle goes on then to say that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now that's an interesting passage, isn't it? And often it's misunderstood. It's as if God wants to save everybody, but this powerful devil has risen up and kept God from saving those whom he would. And it's not what Paul is saying at all. Remember that the same author in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 said that it's God who sends the strong delusion that men might believe a lie. As Samuel Rutherford once said, the devil is God's devil. And so we have then this understanding of that the gospel goes forward, and in some cases, like we heard last week from chapter 3, it's a savor of death unto death. And in other cases, it's a savor of life unto life. So Paul says then, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Then there is this incredible passage, this one verse in verse 6, where we learn about the new creation. And the new creation is exactly, in some senses, like the old creation, like the first creation. What did God do at the beginning? What did He say? He said, light! Let there be light. And what? At the force of the command of God, light sprung into existence. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. How does the new creation take place? Well, how did the first creation take place? At the sovereign command of God. How does the new creation take place? At the sovereign command of God. You see the comparison that the apostle is making here? God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts as well. If there is any light in your heart, it is because God has shined it there. And then he says this, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever seen the face of Jesus Christ? Well, you haven't, have you? He was a man. He was born, he rose up, he died in his early to mid-30s, 2,000 years ago, and we've never seen his face. How is it then that we can behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Because Christ himself in his doctrine, in his teaching, is the revealer of the glory of God. And so when we hear the preaching of the gospel and when we hear the grace of God in Christ, we are in that sense beholding the glory of God. This is not a mystical thing where our eyes roll back in our heads and we see some light. And we say, that's the glory of God. The glory of God is the doctrine of the gospel. And it is in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is why the Apostle Paul can speak to the Galatian church and say something like this, that when I was with you, you beheld Jesus Christ openly crucified before your eyes. Well, not literally, but in the preaching of the gospel. It is in that sense. So then in verse 7, Paul says, this treasure, this glorious gospel, this face of Jesus Christ, this glory of God, this treasure, we have in earthen vessels. Some translations have clay pots. Nothing fancy here. Clay pots. God has chosen to manifest his glory by pouring it out of clay pots. Like the ministers of the gospel. Nothing fancy here. But what it is our job to do is it is our job to present the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the pure and competent preaching of the gospel of Christ. So that you don't look at the pot. You look rather at the glory of God. All right, so then in verses 8 through 10... He speaks of the difficulty of that apostolic ministry. And Paul did have it rough. A little bit later in this book, he's going to talk about some of the, what I call the apostles' rigors, or the apostolic rigors. And he goes so far as to tell us that a day and a night he was spent in the deep. That is, you know, holding on to a piece of driftwood. That he's been through quite a bit. But these are not his glory. He manifests these to the Corinthian church to show how base and how weak he is to get their eyes off of him and on to the glory of God in the face of Christ. He is not presenting his own character as something that ought to be followed as glorious. Rather, you're looking at me, remember that I'm nothing but a clay pot that is afflicted on every side. But what I preach, what I tell you, what God has given me to say to you, that is something that is indeed glorious. Now when he says that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, again, he is talking about the preaching, the life of Jesus. Not the death that surrounds him, but in the midst of all of that swirling tumult and weakness and threat of death, there is this beam of light that issues forth, the preaching of the gospel. And that's what we look for. All right, so then he goes on to speak about why he would do such a thing. And notice that Paul walks by faith and not by sight. Listen to what he says here. He says, we have this same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. I can't see it today. But the reason I persevere is because I know what's coming. What's coming is the end of this apostolic labor, which is an arduous labor, which is a labor where I gave up being a Pharisee of Pharisees, and now I'm the offscouring of the world. And why would I do such a thing? Because walking by faith, I see what's coming. And what's coming is we're going to be raised from the dead, and the Lord Jesus is going to commend us with your faith. That's what's coming. See that unshakable faith in the future that moves people to do things that don't make sense to anybody around them? That was the kind of man the Apostle Paul was. For all things are for your sakes. Then in verses 16 through 18, he makes that very clear. He makes it even the more explicit when he says, we faint not. Notice he said we faint not at the beginning of the chapter and here at the end of the chapter. We faint not. Though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Can you think of a sentence that is so opposite to our culture beside that one? I can't. Our culture is all about the outward, isn't it? It's all about renewing the outward man. It's all about the beautiful life, the comfortable life, the leisurely, that which feels good, that which seems good, that which contributes to your health and well-being. But I would say, where is the striving for the well-being of the inward man? It's all but lost in our society. Except for small enclaves and faithful gospel-preaching churches where the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is shining into the heart and renewing men in their inner man. The inner man is renewed, he says, day by day. And how? How is that? Well, this light affliction, and think of a balance here, which is for a moment, it goes up. Because what we're suffering is building up and working up an eternal weight of glory. Light and heavy. Weight of glory to the Hebrew mind is a wordplay. Because glory and heavy is the same thing, isn't it? That's right. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, notice we're looking on things that are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not are eternal. How could Paul do what he did? The short answer is he walked by faith and not by sight. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.